Imagine being able to use machine learning to improve your bracket in March Madness. Join me today where I talk to Damon Hockmeister of the Azure Machine Learning team and see how he did exactly that. Hi, my name is Jennifer Marsman, and joining me today on Dev Radio is Damon Hockmeister. Damon, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So I'm very excited to have Damon here. Damon is a member of the Azure Machine Learning team. Damon, can you tell us a little bit about what you do on the team?
Sure. I'm a dev manager in the modules and runtime area. Essentially, we have a machine learning offering online, a service for doing machine learning. And I work in an area that that exposes algorithms through the UX to users and how users interact with these algorithms.
I've very much enjoyed using it myself. I know that there's 25 different algorithms in there right now, and they're all there. It's amazing, the variety, and a lot of fun. So I'm very much enjoying the Azure Machine Learning product. One of the things that got me specifically excited is that I heard that you were running an internal competition for Microsoft employees to predict the March Madness tournament results using Azure Machine Learning. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So this was our second year doing the competition. We ended up getting 25 teams competing. Each team had to use the product to make an experiment to model what would happen if any of the March Madness teams, any of the original 68 or 64, I forget which it was, if we included the first round games, if any of the teams had played, what the outcome would be. So, you know, there's many more matches in anybody's, in the experiment someone might submit than would actually occur. And then we ended up picking out the ones that did occur and then seeing how you know, whether they correctly guessed it.
That's awesome. And I think that's a really fun use of machine learning to predict something very useful. As everyone I know, we take our brackets very seriously in my house.
So. Yeah, it was a good time.
Awesome. And I hear you did pretty well. Second place,
I got second place. We included a couple celebrity brackets. We included like Obama's and Bing and Google and our CEO Satya. We included his bracket in there. So Satya actually beat me. But as far as people that were actually competing, I was second place. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I'd love to hear more about how exactly one would go about building a bracket or using a machine learning algorithm to predict what might happen for March Madness. Do you think you could show us a little?
So here's what the product looks like. It's a web-based modeling environment. And algorithms and different, we call modules for the product, we're over here on the left side, and you can see that they're broken up into different buckets here. So, you know, machine learning algorithms are defined under here under machine learning initialized model classification for classification problems. This ends up being a classification problem the way I implemented it because it's, you know, win, lose, true, false.
Right.
So you see we have a bunch of different algorithm types here, and a lot of people tried a lot of different things. I ended up going for a stacking approach, like an ensemble, where I essentially, let me zoom in here on my experiment. But what I ended up doing was I ended up learning on part of the data. So I brought my data in, did a little bit of feature.
And there's a number of different ways to bring data in, too, I think is worth noting. Like, if you can upload a CSV locally, you can pull things in from Azure if you have any data in Azure Blob Storage or Azure Table Storage. And then there's a generic, like, OData feed provider to just pull things across the internet from an OData provider. So there's a lot of great ways to suck your data into Azure Machine Learning.
Great. Correct. Yes, thank you. So, I ended up bringing mine in from on disk, from my laptop. Do some feature pre-processing. We have some feature selection functionality, so we can decide which features are the most important, or what we think are the most important for this problem. So I ended up doing some data pre-processing up here, feature selection. This, if you click on any given module, you can see there's associated parameters with it. And for this feature selection module, I decided to use there's different scoring methods you can use. I ended up choosing Kendall correlation. I tried to whittle down to 110 features. I believe I started with a little over 200 features.
Okay.
And then you can see I'm using, in my stacking, I'm using four, I guess what you'd call top-level learners.
So before we get into those, so with the filter-based feature selection, what that does, what that module does with the Kendall correlation is it tells us, it basically goes through all your features and tries to find which ones are the most relevant. Is that what that module is doing?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
And then in typical machine learning problem, you split your data up into a training set and a scoring set. So you can see I'm splitting it up here. And then I go in, and so then I learn using, oh, I take it back. I used five top-level machine learning algorithms. I used Decision Jungle, Decision Forest, Neural Network, Bayes Point Machine, and Average Perceptron. Mm-hmm. And I use sweep parameters to sweep over different, so if you click on any of these, you can see there's a number of parameters associated with the algorithm. And parameter sweeping will you can tell it, hey, I'd like you to find me the best parameter set that you can find that focuses, and by the best you can decide, does that mean AUC, does that mean precision, recall, what exactly does the best mean? Right. I think I was going for accuracy, if I remember correctly. Yeah, I was going for accuracy.
Yeah. No, I think the sweep parameters is an amazing module. I think a lot of times one of the scariest things, if you're not familiar with machine learning, can be clicking on one of those algorithms and seeing seeing what those...
What does this mean?
Yep. What do those things mean? There's a lot of initial parameters, and how well you can tweak those initial parameters can determine how well that algorithm can perform. And so with sweep parameters, it sends in a whole range and then can help optimize for you. So that's an awesome, well done on that module.
I agree. It's funny. Yeah. It's important to say I don't have a machine learning background, and I learned how to do a little bit of machine learning just using our product. So it definitely makes it easy, I think, to do pretty well.
Yeah. Yes. Awesome.
So these sweep parameters end up finding the best, the best parameter settings we can find with some constraints. I didn't want it to run forever. And then I take those and some of my held out data, I'm going to get probabilities for the label. So what's the probability that it's a zero or a one? So again, we've essentially made five new features by using these five learners to make a guess at the data. So it's a type of ensemble where you're solving a problem using many machine learning algorithms instead of a single one. So the scored probability for any row of data is adding a new column to my data set. So I end up getting five new columns, and each of these different learners have said, well, I'm 90% sure that team one is going to win. And the next one says, well, I'm 40% sure team one is going to win. So I'm going to get a new column that says 90, and I'm going to get a new column that says 40 for these two new features. And then if you come down further, I ended up using a neural network as my final machine learning algorithm that's going to look at all of my original data in addition to these five new generated feature columns that I added. So I believe that the feature selection had chose 110 features. So my final scoring will have my final training and score will have 114 features. 115 features, excuse me.
Excellent. Okay, so I see what you're doing with the sweep parameters, but what's going on in that middle level before you get to the neural network? Is that just data processing? Like I see you're sweeping and you're using your original set of features, and I assume that's just things like, scoring the number of, I don't know, my lack of baseball or basketball knowledge is coming through here. But it's various team stats as well as individual player stats, or
this is honestly just a bunch of cleanup work. And so we have full scripting support in AML. You can write your own R script, you can write your own Python script that you could very easily, everything I did right here, you could do in R and Python.
Okay.
I'm not very comfortable programming in R or Python, so I choose to use the modules, and I don't mind the clutter that it adds. But these are essentially just taking those new generated features, appending them to my original data set, and then kind of appending them all together as we go down this funnel towards the town.
Oh, I see. Because we have some add columns in there?
Add columns, project columns. Okay. So I'm taking specific columns out. I'm renaming some columns. So, for example, the scored probability for one of these things I've named SBBPM here. So I've renamed it while I'm using this module. Again, all this could be written in a script, and you could, I mean, this, I could have made my experiment much smaller if I'd wanted to.
Oh no, that makes total sense, because it looks like you're doing the same thing. So the project columns is just filtering down some of your columns and getting rid of extraneous data.
Right.
The next level is a bunch of metadata editors that are renaming those that new column that you added on from each learner. And
correct.
Then those adding add columns together, are just appending them all together. Yeah. All right, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
And then you'll see the duplication from the left and right side between my training and my scoring data.
Oh, so I see. So you're doing the same thing over on the right side too?
Right.
So that's basically the same thing here, project columns. Yep, I see it all.
Right.
Just projection and cleaning. Okay. All right.
This is that final score right there that's kind of giving you the final.
Okay. All right. So you've used five different learners to add those probabilities for each. And so you're not actually doing like a multi-class classifier where you're predicting, you know, which of the, you know, 16 or top 16 or whatever, top 60, whatever it starts with, 64 or whatever, teams are going to win. You're instead doing a binary classification on each team for their probability to win.
Right. Any team that, I mean, even some teams that couldn't play together, we essentially match up every single team at every single round, you know, of the competition. And I say, well, if these two teams were to play in this round, who would win? So you end up having a lot more actual outcomes than will ever happen, but then you can whittle those down and figure out which ones make sense at the right time.
Okay. All right. And then at the end, so you are calculating all of those different probabilities of each one against each other. And then at the end, you're using a neural net over all of that kind of extra data that you've generated, and then scoring that model.
Correct. Yep.
Okay, cool. Is it possible to see the accuracy if you right click and do the visualize on the trained model did on the test data?
So it looked like I was getting about a 70% accuracy on my testing data set.
Okay, good deal. And
I think I'd pulled out a specific year. I think I'd pulled out like 2013 and kind of held that out and say, well, let's see how I would have done in 2013. And then that's
okay.
I would have been 70% accurate in 2013.
Okay. Interesting. Cool. And then there was I think it's important to call out too, in machine learning, getting, you know, accuracy in the 90s is, you know, very real life data is very messy. So, you know, you're not going to get 100% accuracy. If you do, you know, I question my data. So that's something really important if you're not familiar with the machine learning, with doing machine learning. But, you know, in the 80s is very good, extremely good, 70s, 80s. So that's very cool. And then at the end, we're scoring the model, we're doing the evaluation. So you're not comparing against each other there because it's just the one neural net that's going in. I was going to say, is there a way on your learners up above? Are you evaluating any of them against each other there?
At various points, I had done that. I don't think I have them in this version. No. Yes, there were many. You know, there were many iterations over this where I was adding new modules, taking things away, trying new things out. At different points, if we were to go back through the history, you know, so all your history is saved. So you can always look at prior runs.
That's awesome.
Up here. But if we were to go back, you'd see, you know, many mistakes I had, many errors I had, you know, situations where I was comparing these things and trying to decide which ones should be at this top level, adding features, which ones should be at the bottom, being the final score.
Right. No, I agree. I really love that just the when you right click on the evaluate module, how you get such a nice, like for a binary classification, you can see essentially the area under the curve plotted against each other. You can see various information on the accuracy recall. Yep, all of that great data right there. So that's a kind of a neat thing to show.
I don't know what the specific one was doing. I've forgotten.
Yeah. But no, it's very, very cool stuff. And so, wonderful.
So at the end of my experiment, I have this convert to CSV module, and that'll make a CSV file out of my data set, which I can download to my computer. So we had contestants do this and submit their CSV file. And again, it was for every single possible matchup that could happen. Mm-hmm. And then let me take you here. We ended up putting together a March Madness webpage kind of devoted to this competition for the team.
Nice.
And when we got these CSV files, we would auto-generate a bracket for them. And then
it was fun.
And then during the course of the competition, we'd put the new, you know, on the back end, we'd put the scores in, and then these things, you'd see real-time updates where your positions would be changing and the scores would be filling in on these. And you'd see yourself move up and down. It was a good time. Yeah,
you can see,
you can see Satya beating me there.
Oh, that's cool, though. He's a smart guy. He's a smart guy. But, oh, that is so neat. Oh, we need to make this. This would be awesome to release, man. Get a nice big public challenge would be so much fun.
Yeah.
But, no, this is great, and it's cool to see. Oh, Bing did better than Google. Look at that.
Yep, look at that. Yep, 1 point by our scoring system. Yep.
Way to go. Now, this is very, very cool stuff, and it's fun. It's a really fun application of machine learning as well, in a way that's useful to all of us who are trying to find an edge with our brackets.
Right.
So I absolutely love this. And then the story, I see Adam is the very was the first place winner.
Yep.
And he has a really interesting story. He was new to machine learning, correct?
Yeah, this was his first time. First time using our product. And I want to say he had a little bit of something, 10 years ago. But he's definitely not a machine learning or data science expert.
And that's awesome. And he was able to use Azure Machine Learning to actually win this internal tournament. That's very cool. Yeah. That's very cool. It is a very, I think it's, you guys have done a great job with the product. Those modules that you were showing, we can just very easily drag and drop them from that little menu on the left-hand side over onto the workspace. And it does make it very easy to create and get started with Azure Machine Learning.
Sure, and yeah.
All of those samples are great, too, that you guys provide. Yeah, dragging and dropping it like that is just nice and easy. So, yeah, it's a great product, and I'm excited to improve my bracket next year.
Awesome.
Using Azure Machine Learning. So run that contest again. I want to be part of it.
Will do.
All right, very cool. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you wanted to share today, Damon?
Nothing I could think of. This has been fun, though.
All right, good deal. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show and for showing us how we can all optimize our brackets using Azure Machine Learning.
Thanks,
Have a good one.
Take care.